Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month, and according to the Brain Injury Association of America, there are more than 5.3 million children and adults in the United States who are living with a permanent brain injury-related disability. So joining us today is Dr. Brian Greenwald. He's Medical Director of the Center for Brain Injuries and Associate Medical Director of JFK Johnson Rehabilitation Institute, and Assistant Nurse Manager, Brain Trauma, Nurse Jackie Chiricella. Good morning to both of you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Did I get your name right, Jackie?
Yes, perfect.
Great. Now, as I mentioned, more than 5 million people in the U.S. living with a permanent brain injury related disability. Dr. Greenwald, could you describe what exactly is a brain injury?
You know, before we talk about that, I think it would be good to talk about, you know, what is the brain? What's going on in our little heads there?
Okay, sure.
Amazing, in our little heads, there's over 100 billion with a B, brain cells in our head, doing everything that we do. You know, all our motor, all our sensory, all our speaking, all our understanding, everything that we do, all our emotions, all our memory. You know, we think about our lives, we look at ourselves in the mirror, who we are, we think about that maybe the house that we live in or the car that we drive or the person that we're married to, but really everything that we are is there in our little heads, trapped up in there. So unfortunately, that structure that lives in our head is about the same consistency as formed jello. Our brains are very soft, sitting here in our hard skulls, so trying to protect that soft brain. But when there is trauma to the head, and depending on sort of the type of trauma and the amount of trauma or the amount of force that's applied to our head, we can injure that soft tissue that's in our head, injure our brain, called a traumatic brain injury. So the traumatic brain injury is an external force to the head causing injury to the brain inside of our head. Over this last 10 years, we've heard certainly a lot more about concussions. This is 10 plus years.
Yeah.
So much discussion with regards to concussions and our athletes. There's nothing so new. It's become sort of so highlighted because of the interest to its relationship to the NFL and what some of the long-term effects might be with regards to these concussions. Traumatic brain injury itself is sort of as old as time, based on sort of some of the difficulties that the brain has, being the soft structure in our head and being so sensitive that way. What we're lucky to have here is a place that takes care of people who have had these brain injury across the spectrum of severity, from a concussion to coma. Unfortunately, even with all the advances in science and better technology with regards to diagnosis and treatment, like you were saying, there are still so many people that continue to suffer the long-term effects of brain injury. The estimate in the United States is that there's about 1.7 to 2 million new traumatic brain injuries per year. Many of these are concussive injuries, and fortunately, many of those people will get better. But like you were saying, it's about 5.3 million people who live in the United States with the long-term effects of traumatic brain injury.
Tell us about the Brain Injury Association. JFK, you have an affiliation with the Brain Injury Association of New Jersey?
It's actually the Brain Injury Alliance. Yeah, so,
Alliance, okay.
The Brain Injury Alliance of New Jersey, which has been around for over 30 years, started as really a grassroots organization, started by parents, family members whose family had been injured, and recognizing that there wasn't enough resources for people out there. And then things have changed so much over this last 30 or 40 years. I've personally been in the field over 20 years, and I've seen it improve in many ways as far as our ability to both diagnose and treat people. The Brain Injury Alliance, which is now a certainly much more mature group than when it started as its grassroots organization 30-plus years ago. It's an organization of which I'm the vice president of the board, the board of trustees of the organization. It's an organization that looks to do two things, more than two things, but certainly the two big things is, one is helping people on an individual basis So the Brain Injury Alliance of New Jersey has a helpline when people are going through challenges themselves or family members, and they're looking for sources, resources, ways to try to help their family members. They can be very helpful with that as far as pointing them in the right direction for those things, helping to sometimes to case manage the issues that they're having, both on a short-term basis and then sometimes even on a longer-term basis, but also advocacy. And like I was saying, it was really advocacy where the Brain Injury Alliance of New Jersey came up in general, recognizing the need for more resources for people with brain injury. And so the Brain Injury Alliance of New Jersey just does such a wonderful job in advocating at a state level for things for people with brain injury need and their history. Having seen it, I've been on the board for more than 20 years. The history is just phenomenal as far as getting more resources for people, really working with the politicians, explaining the needs of people so as to get more resources, making sure that these resources are as widely available in New Jersey as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brain Injury Alliance in New Jersey, being sort of as high profile as it is, has done a great job on a national basis, really influencing policies on a national basis that have really positively impacted persons with brain injury just in general,
mm-hmm.
but also our veterans who are coming back with brain injury and sort of the importance of all that and making sure that they're getting the resources that they require, looking at this issue that's become such a big issue also with regards to athletes and some of their long-term needs, protecting our children, who are certainly suffering concussions also. What do we need to do to help them? They've just done a wonderful job, and it's an honor to be on their board and to help do the important work that they're doing.
Yeah, what are some of the changes that have come about thanks to the work of the Alliance?
I can think of a lot of them. I think probably the one I think of most prominently is the Brain Injury Fund. So I remember when we were away, so once a year the whole board goes away on a retreat or meets for a retreat and mm-hmm. discusses, what do we really need to do next? And the woman at the time who was the president, Barbara Geiger Parker, came up with this idea, what if we had a fund that could help people get things that they require that are not covered by insurance? Let's think of, insurance is going to be a challenge just in general, but let's think of something like a ramp, right? So someone now has a new disability, they need a ramp to go into their home. How could they get that? It's not available through insurance oftentimes. It can be an expensive mm-hmm. proposition to install something like that. And yet this could be the difference between the person being able to easily get in and out of their home, get in and out of their home safely or not.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, things like additional therapies. We were able to work with the politicians in New Jersey and come up with an idea of how to create this Brain Injury Fund, which now completely exists and has been in existence for quite a while, which allows people to apply for things of that sort. There's a board at the state level who looks at these applications. These applications involve, physicians being involved and saying that these things are necessary, writing appropriate prescriptions and such. But so many of my patients have benefited from that. When I look at that as one thing, I can really see how much that has changed things as far as people getting access to things that they wouldn't have gotten access before.
We're talking with Dr. Brian Greenwald, Medical Director of the Center for Brain Injuries and Associate Medical Director of JFK Johnson Rehabilitation Institute and Assistant Nurse Manager Brain Trauma, Nurse Jackie Chirichel. Jackie, I'd like to turn to you. There are several programs there at JFK that benefit those with brain injuries, but you work in the inpatient program. Tell us about that.
Well, we are a 26-bedded inpatient brain trauma rehab. Patients, different diagnoses, any type of brain injury, strokes, car accidents. We've had several years. We've had a few sports injuries. We've had, sometimes drug overdoses. Patients fall and they get brain injured. So we do have a different varieties of patients that we get from anywhere from an 18-year-old to a 99-year-old.
So if a patient comes in with a brain injury, however they got it, what's involved? Where does it start, and you know, what's the treatment?
Well, it starts as soon as they walk through the door. They get evaluated by the therapy team, and then they get placed on a schedule, because it's important for patients with the brain injury to keep the schedule so that it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually they provide 3 hours of therapy a day. And then with all those, there's a lot of nursing care involved. Some patients come with a trach, or they come with a D-tube. Some of them they exhibit a lot of restless and agitated behaviors, aggressive behaviors, combativeness. Those are all part of the things, part of the brain injury. It's not who the patient is, it's the injury. Those are the kind of things that happen during the injury.
Right. So how do you determine when they come in? At first, how do you determine how severe the injury is? Is it a simple test? Yeah. Is there what type of analysis is happening?
So it's so important as that we work together as a team. I think it's a great question. We look at it from multiple perspectives. Communication, I'd say, is one of the key things that goes on our unit that makes it so successful. So it's all the clinicians working together. You know, myself as a physician evaluating all their medical needs and answering that question that you're just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the severity of injury and what is the medical complexity of the injury that they have. The nursing care, and then these patients from a nursing perspective are often so complicated. We take so many patients who have tracheostomies, you know, meaning like a tube in their throat to help with their breathing.
Right.
Gastrostomies, you know, a tube in their stomach to help give them a nutrition when they're not able to take it by mouth. Like Jackie was saying, they can be agitated, and the medical complexity in every organ system can be so complicated. We're lucky to be part of the hospital, be part of JFK, to take care of that. Beyond that, we have such an extensive staff who kind of look at the patients in every perspective, again, trying to maximize their function. So physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy and psychology, neuropsychology and recreation therapy, social workers, so many professionals all working together really to get this person back to the function that they deserve to have. I often talk about that, you know, when patients come in, you know, we put a warm hug around both them and their families, kind of recognizing that nobody deserves to go through the challenge of dealing with a brain injury, whether it be related to a traumatic brain injury, you know, which is what we're talking about a lot today, or
mm-hmm.
a stroke, or a brain tumor. Nobody deserves to go through that. We try to give them sort of a warm, friendly hug. In a distance way now with COVID, but
right, of course,
you know, sort of an emotionally to give them a hug and sort of continue that through our continuity of care that we offer here at JFK, starting here on the inpatient basis and continue on to the outpatient basis.
Yeah, we're talking about the severe brain injuries, but is there really such thing as a minor brain injury? I mean, it's a brain injury.
So yeah. Sometimes people will talk about minor brain injury with regards to concussions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was talking with this neurosurgeon, this very prominent neurosurgeon who is really a pioneer in his field, and he was talking about sort of his experiences from like the 1960s and 70s and how they started talking about minor brain injuries or concussive injuries. And in his mind, if it didn't need surgery, it was a minor brain injury. I think we recognize now that's not really, the term minor brain injury is not good for the person, not good for the medical community. I think there's been sort of a phase out of that term. We do talk about severity of injury of mild, moderate, and severe.
Okay.
Mild brain injury is often talked about a concussive injury. But the brain being as valuable as it is, really there's no brain injury that's too mild, if we're going to use that term.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't... and deserve to have appropriate assessment and treatment as necessary.
Well, is there a brain injury that you can recover fully?
Well, certainly some people do have great recoveries. You know, the concussive injury, you know, they talk about people, maybe 60, 70, 80% of people having a full recovery after a concussive injury. Certainly, you know, when we think about sports-related concussions, we know that there's a good level of recovery. course, the challenge being is A, making sure that the person has that recovery, and mm-hmm. and particularly in our children, making sure that they're protected because they're in school and they may need some additional assistance as they're going through that recovery, but sort of shepherding them through that recovery, which is certainly one of the things that we do in our great outpatient program that we have here.
We're talking about brain injuries, severe brain injuries. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month, and we're talking with Dr. Brian Greenwald and Nurse Jackie Chiricella from JFK. What is, and I just heard this term recently, storming or neurostorming?
So storming, which is certainly something that we think of here in the severe brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
When someone's had a brain injury and really from a concussive injury straight through to coma, there's a lot of adrenaline that's released into their body. There's also a change in there can be a change in the structure of their brain also. And the brain, like I was saying, really runs everything, right? As I was saying, it's involved with everything, but it's also involved with your heart rate, your blood pressure, your respiratory rate, your temperature. Everything mm-hmm. is involved with. When there's been a dysregulation in the ability of the brain to work, it can cause also an inability of it to control all those functions, to control the blood pressure, the heart rate, the respiratory rate, the temperature. And secondarily, people can have what's called storming, where they can have very elevated blood pressures and heart rates and temperatures that aren't necessarily cardiac in origin, aren't necessarily infection in origin, aren't vascular in origin, really just from the brain and the adrenaline that the brain is putting out and the lack of ability to regulate those important functions.
Are there other injuries or illnesses or symptoms that can hinder recovery from brain injury? Like maybe it's confusing as far as diagnosis goes.
Diagnosis, mm-hmm. whether it be from concussive injury to the severe injury. We're talking about someone who had an external force to the head with a secondary injury to the brain sitting in that head. The two most common causes of traumatic brain injury are falls. Actually, falls are the top cause of traumatic brain injury, with motor vehicle accidents second. But there's certainly lots of ways that we can injure our brain, right? So unfortunately, violence can happen to people also, as we were talking about sports-related brain injuries. So there are certainly a number of different ways that is. When what we're looking for early on is sort of changes in the person's brain function, right? So let's say if we're talking about a sports-related injury, we might be taking the person to the sideline and see if they have any evidence that confused, difficulty speaking, and difficulty walking, headaches. Common symptoms of concussive injury, let's say if they were in a motor vehicle accident or they had a fall and hit their head, we might want to get them to the emergency room, make sure that they have no, let's say, bleeding or black and blues on their brain.
Mm-hmm. And now you mentioned motor vehicle accidents. If we can't talk about this, that's fine, but you treated Tracy Morgan after his accident?
Yes, our team treated Tracy Morgan here. I think it's okay to talk to her in the sense that Tracy was nice enough to thank me and Nurse Jackie on national TV and lots of articles written about it. And
mm-hmm.
both myself and Jackie have been interviewed extensively about this topic. There's an example of someone who's in a significant motor vehicle accident and came in. It was initially in the acute care. He was initially over at the trauma center. Came to us similarly to a lot of our patients, very medically complicated. We put that warm hug on him, like I was telling you mm-hmm. About that we do. We work together as a team, all those different professionals that I was telling you about. Additional specialties as needed. We're lucky here over at JFK, besides myself as a brain injury specialist, seeing the patients, that if other specialists are needed, endocrinology, cardiology, neurology, those options there are also. We all work together as a team, and we were able to get him back out to the community, starting out with some outpatient therapies,
mm-hmm.
and then back to Saturday Night Live.
Lastly, I see him perform. I don't see any lasting effects, but I don't know. Are there lasting effects for Tracy or anyone else in that who had that severity of a brain injury?
Not speaking about Tracy's case specifically, but it's certainly having had a severe brain injury. When someone has had a severe brain injury and was initially in a coma and to had a prolonged period of confusion or unconsciousness, it wouldn't be unusual that they would have some deficits. There are certainly people who are good at compensating or dealing with some of the challenges that they have and overcoming some of those challenges to get back to everything that they deserve and that they want to do. I wish I could say that was true for everybody, that everybody got back to that.
Right.
But then, again, that goes back to the 5.3 million people living in the United States. Remember, our country is only about 300 plus million people. 5.3 million people is a large number of people living with the long-term effects of traumatic brain injury.
And this is the reason why brain injury awareness is so important.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, people with brain injury themselves aren't necessarily their best advocates. You know, hopefully people have family or friends who could help advocate for them. You know, since it is such a common problem and sometimes people sort of aren't recognized for the challenge that they have. They're not necessarily missing their head or missing their arms or legs, and yet sort of suffering from the challenge of brain injury. We want to make some awareness of that so we can continue to move on, continue to help these people, continue to get the resources that they need, continue to advance the state of the field.
And March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. Is there anything you'd like to add, you'd like to share, the people you think they should know, because it is Awareness Month, what other things they should be aware of that we didn't touch on?
Well, there are so many great resources. If you go to the Brain Injury Alliance of New Jersey website, BIANJ.org, there are just a ton of great resources there as far as learning more about brain injury. We're lucky coming up here at JFK, we're going to have the virtual Brain Injury Health and Wellness event on March 31st, starting at 5:30 p.m. There's information on our website about that. People often ask me, what could I be doing if I've had a brain injury, or if I haven't had a brain injury, what could I do to protect this this important organ of mine? Well, they're going to talk a lot about that. Our staff has done a great job putting this event together and going to talk about physical fitness and mental fitness and stress management like yoga and nutrition. I think it's going to be a great event, and I'm really hoping a lot of people will benefit from it.
Great. March 31st, the Brain Injury Awareness Event. And for more info, you can go to HackensackMeridianHealth.org. That's HackensackMeridianHealth.org. Well, thank you to both of you for joining us, JFK Spotlight on Health, Dr. Brian Greenwald from JFK and Nurse Jackie Chiricella. It really was a very interesting and informative talk, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for JFK Spotlight on Health. I'm Joel Katz. It's been brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. Keep getting better. For a podcast of this or any program, any JFK Spotlight on Health, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. We'll talk to you next week.